Championship is being played this week.
Tom, I'm standing here with the little sluggers and some of their parents, and I can't tell you how excited they are.
This is the Hot Corner.
Little Stan March is the pitcher for the South Park Little League team. Mr. March, you must be very proud of your son. They've worked really hard to get here, Chris, and, you know, I don't like to really trash talk, but I don't think Denver has a chance.
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
Oh, well, I'm sure some of the Denver kids' parents would disagree with you.
And oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! South Park is going down! There ain't no way some little mountain kids can beat Denver! Not with my son on second base!
On the Odyssey app.
Oh, looks like we got some parental trash talking going on here. Mr. Marsh, any comment? Well, I think that there's a...
Mr. Marsh? Who wants to hear from a Mr. Marsh? I am the ultimate Little League trash-talking father. I am the Bat Dad. Bat Dad knows no fear.
And 1080.
Bat Dad knows no pain. I want you, Marsh. I want you.
The Fan.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, and anywhere, and I mean anywhere, that you get your podcasts.
Make sure you don't listen to any segments where we trash on the Cardinals, because this is your warning now. They might be sneaking back up the standings.
Yeah, I think next week, you know, a little preview looking ahead to next week, I think we're going to have to check in on three teams. And I'll go ahead and tell you them now. I don't want to do it. Let's, you know, tease the peeps and make them come back for some more. But I think some teams we're going to have to check in on next week would be the St. Louis Cardinals, the Texas Rangers. And the San Diego Padres.
Oh.
Some good, some bad. But we're going to have to look at those guys, because things getting a little cray in baseball when it comes to some of those teams.
No need to look at the Orioles. Things are just fine right now.
Things are just fine over there. A little Aaron Hicks with Cedric Mullins on the DL.
You saw that?
I did. Of course, Joe, I see everything.
Well, I mean,
unless it happened on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Unless you're on a trip in Idaho where you have no service. But.
And we got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour. Joe Fisher, Patrick Harris with you. Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos behind the glass. But I want to start off in the second hour with this Bally Sports TV situation. Now, I'm a longtime MLB at-bat. The package, whatever it's been called over the years.
The package. That would be awesome.
MLB.tv or you like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it is, it's not a controversial statement. I think most people agree with it. No matter where baseball lands in your hierarchy of sports, nobody does streaming baseball games better than baseball. Nobody does streaming sports, period, better than baseball. I watch a lot of EPL, and it's a lot of... Okay, is this on Peacock or is it on USA or is it what? You know, like it can be a little NBC, it can be a little jarring. And obviously, Sunday Ticket. And if you're a Charger fan, you haven't seen a local game in town in a decade. And NBA and all that kind of stuff, you see blackouts. But with this Bally, Joe and I were kind of talking about this. Bally has declared bankruptcy. There are multiple teams that they have defaulted on payments. Last night was the last broadcast game for the Padres. And so the Padres have now become the first team that the media has been taken over by Major League Baseball. I think the Minnesota Twins aren't far behind, and there's probably some other teams.
The Twins, the Rangers, Diamondbacks, and Guardians are a couple teams that are going through the same thing right now.
And it's really strange because we live in the Northwest. And so we have Root, which is basically the same thing as Bally. It's basically on paper the same thing as Bally, except for Root is Pacific Northwest centric, to where Bally is more.
They got the Astros too.
More nationwide.
No, I mean, Bally has a lot of teams. I think they have 14 teams in general, but some of them are owned half by the team and like half Bally, like they're part owned by the franchise, whereas
at this point somebody made a good deal in the contract.
Yes, whereas some of them are not. I want to say that the Padres, Royals, Brewers, Rays, I'll have to find the exact list, but there's some that have team ownership and some that don't.
And so what's happening is that this team or this company can't pay their bills. They have declared bankruptcy. And, I mean, first to start here, I'm curious how they failed. You know, I'd love to see a 30 for 30 of this in 10 years or so. Like, how did this fail? Because we were just talking about it last segment. It's similar to college football, all right? It's very regional. My grandmother, Jimmy Hugh's wife, who I spoke of my grandfather, Jimmy Hugh, earlier.
She owes me $20 too.
His wife, my grandmother, who thinks the absolute world of me, but she's senile, so it's okay. She watches Mariner games every day.
Good for her.
Every day, because that's the local team. She watches Gonzaga basketball every game. She watches Wazoo football every game because she lives in Spokane. She's regional. That's what she does. And I have to think there are a ton of people around that do the same thing. So what the hell happened for this team to fall, for this company to fall apart in broadcasting local games?
Yeah, so Bally, and I mean, I feel like we never really raised a stink that when they took over these broadcasts, we were like, Bally, isn't that a gym or like a diet?
Bally Fitness, like, yeah, yeah.
I felt like nobody ever raised an eyebrow to that at all. It was just kind of like, okay, sure, yeah, I guess this is on Bally Sports Network
okay,
now.
Okay, whatever.
Well, what happened there is it's actually the Diamond Sports Network
yes.
and essentially Bally. But didn't they buy the naming rights or some crap like that?
Diamond Sports Group owns Bally Sports Broadcast, and 14 major league teams are a part of their broadcast. Six of the teams have part ownership of them, and those six are the Padres, Reds, Cardinals, Angels, Marlins, and Royals. So therefore, it makes them operate as separate legal entities, which then you can run into things like this.
So when you default, like they have,
and say, we're not going to pay you guys for your baseball games, and they're like,
then the Padres
hell
say,
you are.
Yeah, yeah. They say, what do we do in Major League Baseball as a commissioner, as the governing body? That's their job. They have to step in. You would think it'd be like if the NCAA had some form of government, they would step in and probably handle this Pac-12-esque show that's going on about TV rights. But yeah. I think the biggest thing that I'm curious, the biggest thing I'm curious about is how they failed. You know, because my question is this an issue of bad business or
well,
is this an issue of forecasting the future of the game?
Well, like I said,
now, I don't want to like cry wolf and scream to the heavens and say we're in trouble. But is this a game issue or is this just a bad business?
Well, parent organization of Diamond Sports Group is Sinclair. I just
Ooh,
wonder if this
Sinclair.
All I wonder if this all kind of derived and came off of when NBC Sports went through their phase of getting rid of their regional sports networks.
Right.
I mean, NBC Sports, they were in Philly, they were in Washington.
Big soccer channel.
They had a few markets they were in. So I think once that went away,
we had them here in Portland.
Sinclair was like, I don't know, let's call it Bally and see if they want to make a sports channel to take over these teams, I guess.
So essentially what, I'm trying to find some history of this in Bally, Diamond Sports Group used to be Fox Sports Net, right? So Seattle used to have this owner, you know, as for the Mariners anyways, in their coverage, and at one point the Portland Trail Blazers.
Fox Sports was
Fox
huge.
Fox Sports Net. Dunna, 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 dunna. Yep. Yeah, no, everybody remembers that theme. I wish it were still our theme for football and baseball. So essentially this kind of started to split up when the Diamond Sports Group got acquired by Disney. And at that point, they were going to just kind of keep all these RSNs under one umbrella. But the Justice Department told them, hey, you guys got to sell
Sounds
these.
Sounds like a monopoly.
Yeah, because ESPN holding this many regional sports networks is bad. However, I think a monopoly would have been good here because, I mean, we've seen these products. The Bally Sports Networks have been terrible. Root Sports is even worse.
Yeah, it's,
I hate
it's,
it.
It's not great coverage.
It's bad.
No, it's, I was... It's funny that we brought up the whole monopoly aspect because today when I was reading this on ESPN, wouldn't you know it, about all this mess, I was just like, and I think Aaron Judge just might have gone, to, oh, warning track. Oh, my God.
Your TV's further ahead of mine. That's not fair.
No.
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Teased you guys.
Good. Catch that. Thank you, Kelnick.
But, yeah, I was definitely thinking, like, whenever ESPN wants to take over all sports programming ever, you know, I'll be fine with that at this point. Just let Disney and ESPN take over.
They were the first one to do it.
Take over every league in every format, everywhere, and just Let them handle it.
So I think as we've been talking about this, there's, I think it comes across initially as a little bit of doom and gloom. I am on the other side of this, this woke liberal that's too far over that believes in communism.
Greater Idaho.
Yeah, this guy, I actually think that this is setting up for potentially the best thing to happen to baseball since free agency. And that is what I want to get to next. This is the Hot Corner. Joe Fisher, Patrick Harris, Jordan Schultz behind the glass, 1080 The Fan.
Well, all right. Starcha, citizens of the universe, recording it.
It's always baseball season. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
It's 8:17, Portland sports leader. Fair or foul coming up here in about 15 minutes. We're talking about these media rights with Bally and how Bally is crumbling with these RSNs and what that looks like for the future. I lean on the positive side of this because what I see, Joe and I were just talking in the break, what I see with companies like Nesson and Yes, those networks that have a streaming package for the team, as we're seeing these RSNs start to fail and Major League Baseball having to step in, I think this is the beginning of the free market of watching Major League Baseball games. I find it absolutely ridiculous that I spend $150 a year, whatever the amount is, on the MLB package. Now, I love baseball, so if it's, you know, if Max Fried is pitching against Aaron Nola in Atlanta on a Tuesday, I'm going to watch that game. Those are great pitchers, a rivalry. Those are good teams, World Series aspirations. So I'm going to watch that. It is absolutely ridiculous that because I live 3.5 hours away from Seattle, I can't watch the Mariners. Joe, you were just saying about Iowa. Okay, there is a very, very, very famous movie about baseball that takes place in Iowa. And the line is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. And that is such a beautiful line in a beautiful movie. But Joe, if you live in Iowa, how many teams can you not watch because of local blackouts?
How many teams can you not watch? All six teams that border the state of Iowa, you can't watch them. They're all blacked out.
That's a crappy spot to live. That's always been a big issue.
That's the Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Iowa wasn't already bad to live in.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Kansas City Royals, the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago White Sox, and the Texas Rangers?
I think so. I was trying to pay attention.
I mean, Iowa doesn't border Texas, but it's close enough.
The Yankees player just almost obliterated his shoulder on the wall there. That would be Twins, Royals, Cardinals, Brewers, Cubs, White Sox. Six teams all bordering the state of Iowa. You cannot watch.
And that's the thing about MLB blackouts, man, is you're literally forcing, say, I'm a Mariners fan in Iowa. I can't even watch the Mariners playing the White Sox because that's blacked out. I mean, it's not affecting just home fans. This access thing is ridiculous. And then I just Googled, why do MLB blackouts exist? I wanted to see what the Google machine spit out as an answer. The main reason for MLB blackout restrictions is to protect the interests of local broadcasters and cable providers paying a lot of money for the rights to these games.
Yep, it's because...
Not no more!
The reason I can't watch Mariner games as an MLB package owner, renter, streamer, consumer, whatever you want to say, is because they're protecting cable for me to have Comcast so I have Root.
That's it. That's literally it. They want you to buy the whole enchilada instead of a la carte.
And in NFL, we've seen this. The Chargers are the best example. The reason they did this was because they couldn't sell out Charger games. So they wanted you, because you couldn't watch it on TV, they wanted you to have to fork up the money to go to the game.
And that's why blackouts exist originally, right?
That is why they exist originally. But guess what, guys? TV is dead. It might not be dead now, but there's a reason Comcast is dialing back their stuff. because people are not paying for cable. And I 100% wholeheartedly believe that if local blackouts were lifted and you could watch any game at any time, I don't care if Major League Baseball runs it or if it's RSNs or what, but if I can watch any game, including my local team, I think that benefits baseball.
Well, what the hell is this that we have in the studio?
I think it grows Major League Baseball.
MLB Big Inning. What is this MLB Big Inning?
No, that's it's because of a VPN, I think, we're able to watch
that.
Oh,
yeah, that's the MLB TV package.
Yeah. But we couldn't watch our home team unless we were hiding our location.
Yeah, if you watch MLB Big Inning, is their wannabe
NBA League
Red Zone.
Gotcha.
It's their wannabe Red Zone. So you turn it on and they show you big plays when they're happening of different games.
Oh.
That's what that is.
What app is this that I'm in, though? What is happening? Am I having a stroke? Am I okay?
You're in the MLB app, dude.
So that's the MLB app. It's not the MLB Big Inning app.
You know, Patrick, what it sounds like you're saying, too, is if RSNs Fox Sports, like Root, like Bally, maybe at some point decided to lift these blackout restrictions, Bally would still be in business as opposed to defaulting. It's like, hey, so we're going to, what they've done is like, we're going to take the whole pie until the last second that we can't anymore, instead of maybe saying, hey, we're going to take 40% of the pie and we're going to be in business forever because we're taking 40% of the pie and that's okay with us.
Well, Joe said this earlier. Yes Network, NESN, you can buy a package that allows you to watch Yankee games on Yes. And NESN does Red Sox games, and don't they do Oriole games too?
I was wrong on the Orioles. The Orioles were just on the mind as usual, but no, it's a Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, Cubs, and Dodgers. I think all have individual like streaming services that you can buy packages.
And the Dodgers have a streaming service because there's no RSN in LA.
Yeah,
and that's why they have it. And so.
Yeah, they either own their RSNs or receive massive annual payments from them, so they are able to essentially make their rules.
As somebody who lives in the Northwest, and I pay the $150 every year for the MLB At-Bat package, and I will continue because I love baseball and want to watch whatever game I want, are you telling me that if I throw on another $8 to $10 a month to root, I get Mariner games and Blazer games and GU basketball and Kraken hockey, that I'm not going to do it? You're out of your mind. Of course I'll do it. I'll be mad because I'll be like, I've paid this MLB subscription. Why can't I get my local team? But you're going to force my hand. Right now, I can't do anything about watching the Mariners unless I get cable.
So this this ESPN article,
which can be like $200 a month,
it's right on the MLB's main page. They say that Yankees and Red Sox, the teams are targeting customers who are blacked out from watching games, and the success will offer a sense of fans' willingness to stomach a price point higher than almost every streaming service, including those beyond sports.
Man,
you pay $150 a year. Okay, great point, Joe. Let's say you live in Brooklyn, and you are a Yankee fan, and you're an average baseball fan. You'll watch Sunday night baseball on ESPN. You'll watch Friday night on Apple TV, and you'll get the TBS game on Tuesday, whatever day they want to say, or a Saturday Fox game, whatever.
But I'll die for Matsui.
But you're an average fan. You would pay $30 a month to guarantee you can watch every Yankee game.
You bet your ass I'm paying that.
You ditch the MLB TV package at $150 a year.
You should say, forget about it.
Forget about it. You ditch that.
All right, I'm done.
And just because then you just say, you know what? I'll watch the ESPN show. I'll watch the Apple TV show. I'll watch the TBS show. But realistically, I just want to watch Yankee games. You're going to pay for that. And I think the crumble of Bally might become the crumble of RSNs as we know it.
Let's hope so.
Whatever, dude.
Like, how does it not become like Netflix?
We've got to start. I think more and more companies are trying this, like Pluto, like Tubi. I think there's a couple TV services that they don't charge you to watch. You just see the ads. So they essentially just put ads on and their curated content up there with ads in between. So they're still making money. And I think these RSNs, they've just been trying to keep that double profit way with both their ad revenue and their regional fees, bringing money in. And they just don't want to get rid of these regional fees. But now, Belly, they're out of existence because they didn't want to give up the regional fees.
My head hurts. I'm tired. I'm going to have to wake up tomorrow morning, and I'm going to have to listen to Dirt and Sprague bitch about the Pac-12 media rights deal after this. Where did we go wrong as a society?
Greed, bro. What
happened?
I think a lot of it is because we live on the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest.
No, it's greed. It's all
sports
greed.
Hates us up here.
Cable, no, cable providers.
The upper left. Sports hates the upper left.
Cable providers tried to claim that they weren't selling ad revenue and weren't actually getting it, so they could classify it in another way, so they still got these regional fees. It's all greed, you guys. That's all it is.
But
they're trying to make money
two-fisted
instead of one.
Right, and I'll finish with this. But I think this is a situation, as baseball has said, we will step in and take care of this. So when Valley can't do Minnesota and Valley can't do Texas, just like Valley can't do San Diego right now, and Major League Baseball said, we'll step in, we'll produce it, we'll air it, that is going to be the opening of a brand new experience of watching baseball. And that can't be worse than what we have now.
But MLB needs to take this opportunity, and instead of charging people, like you say, hey, let's go free. So take that opportunity that the Twins and Padres are giving to you. Make it free. Screw the monthly fee. Make it free from now on. That would start, I think, a waterfall or a little bit of an effect. Don't
old
you?
Old people have money. Kids don't. If you want kids to watch baseball, let it be free.
God, and tell old people, hey, why don't you download this app, but also make sure you have this app, and get rid of Comcast altogether. You know that thing you've been using for 20 years?
Yeah, my mom struggles with it, and we pay for, like, everything, and I just flip to whatever I want.
Sports. Well, you use her logins then, right? My dad still has DirecTV.
No, she got rid of Comcast, so I don't have logins anymore.
Sports gods, save us.
Yep.
Please.
All right, when we come back, it's everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul. But first, my man Jordan with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul. And without further ado, we turn it over to our producer, Jordan Schultz. What you got for me, baby?
Well, thank you, guys. I must say, I'm not sure these are going to be stumped Fair fouls tonight, just because I've been here all day, so try
I don't
to prepare
want to
what
think.
I could.
So good.
Yeah, well, Joe was ready to mail this in an hour and a half ago. So
I know. In retrospect, 5 minutes in the show, I can't wait for this to be over.
Yeah. Well, that's great radio. So, click. So yeah, that is great radio. You jerk.
So let's hustle through this and get Joe the hell out of here.
Well, I've got three stories instead of four, so that's a good start for hustling. But of course, we have the Angels playing okay. I would say better than expected. At this point of the season, Mike Trout doing well for them also, but the rest of their roster not really that great. There have been rumors about Ohtani signing with another team during the offseason if the Angels don't do well, so fair or foul. The Angels will trade Shohei Ohtani before the deadline. Fair or foul?
I mean, if I'm the Angels, yeah. I would have put him on the market the second the World Baseball Classic ended. The second the World Baseball Classic ends, I put him on the market because ain't nobody ever seen a haul like I'm about to get. We're not just talking prospects. We're talking money. We're talking everything. I'm putting him on the market. The answer to your question is foul. The Angels will screw this up, and he will walk next year.
I say foul, but I mean, we're treating Ohtani as if the team drafted him. Like, he chose to go to the Angels.
This is true.
There was a track record before he went to the Angels of, like, hey, it's not a really great run franchise.
We all knew it. Josh Hamilton was bad. CJ Wilson was bad. Pujols was bad.
I mean, so, like, I don't feel like it's just that far-fetched to believe that he's just not, like, him re-signing with the Angels is like, oh, God, no, he wouldn't. Look what's happened since he's been there. I say false, they don't trade him, because, honestly, an Angels team that's three games above 500 this late in the season is actually not that bad. Give it a couple weeks, though, and that could be I'm pretty sure this is what happened last year, though. They were kind of maintaining and then absolutely fell off the face of the earth. But
I do wonder this. I do wonder this.
Foul and because they're still in it.
I wonder this because I don't know what American baseball consumerism is like in Japan. I wonder if a big reason why Ohtani chose Anaheim was to play with Mike Trout. Before Ohtani showed up, before Judge hit 62 last year, it's unquestionable that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. It's not even, we used to laugh about it on this show. It's Trout, and then who are we talking about next? It's the Gretzky treatment.
It's probably Nolan.
You know, it's the Gretzky treatment. And so I wonder if Shohei chooses Anaheim because he says, that's the best player in baseball, and I want to play with him. And now he's going, oh, there's a lot more about Major League Baseball than I realize.
Yes, yes.
And Trout seems to be the kind of guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to get paid, and I'm just going to kick you.
Gonna hang. Yeah, a couple other things at play, Shohei, discovering that. He has hit 15 homers, 38 RBIs so far this year, 269 batting average, 5-1, 2.91 ERA.
Yeah, two dingers today.
Two whammies today. So, next up, another home run hitter, Aaron Judge. Talked about him a little bit in the first hour. Go podcast it anywhere you get your podcasts here on the Hot Corner 1080 The Fan. Judge, 62 home runs last year, 19 so far this year. Gonna hit a lot of home runs, but how many exactly? Fair or foul, Aaron Judge will hit 700 home runs in his career. Fair or foul, 700.
Siri, set reminder in 20 years for...
hey, he's 31, more like 9,
ten
buddy.
Years. Yeah, nine, 10 or 20. 9 years. You got
again,
9 years.
It all comes back to
how
that...
How many does he got right now?
It comes back to that mental math I was talking about.
How many does he have right now?
Right now, Aaron Judge, total career homers...
156.
238.
238, wow, more than I thought.
238.
238.
That's 239, technically.
So he would need to hit 400 and like... No, I don't.
He's halfway to 500. He's 31.
You say how many? 700?
Yeah, so 239. Yeah, so he needs 450 for that. He would have to hit,
I pray,
45 home runs over the next 10 years each year.
So he's got to be Hank Aaron. Basically. You're telling me he's got to be Hank Aaron, who's a top 10 player of all time in baseball history.
I say foul, but I pray I'm wrong. Because imagine that dude just mashing home runs.
Imagine him 37 and he's got 58 home runs that year.
That would be fantastic.
I don't know. Sorry, I don't know who has the most 50 home run seasons, but hey, he could match that.
I mean, Hank Aaron has the most 40 home run seasons. I believe that stat is correct because Hamrin never hit over 50 home runs, but you don't get to 755 without being super consistent.
McGuire and Sosa are the only two to have done it four times.
Yeah, we don't count them.
Babe Ruth, technically,
they
as well.
They put the bat on the ball.
I will say foul to this too. I think he's just. I think he showed up a little too late. I mean, he was an MVP at 30,
25 ML or at 24 MLB debut.
Yeah. I mean, if he's an MVP at 26, we're talking something different. You're talking Alex Rodriguez stuff. But I mean, Judge is going to hit 500 home runs, and 500 will put you in the Hall automatically if you got no shady stuff around you.
I was going to say, let's see how much horse tranquilizer we can get in.
B12 shots.
I think the real question with Judge is, can he hit 600? Because 600. Let me try to rally this off my head. 600 is Bonds, Ruth, Aaron. Pujols, they all have 700. And then 600 is Mays, Sosa, Griffey, Tome. Am I missing anybody in there?
Not that I can think of.
Not off the top.
I'm trying to do math.
And then 500 is kind of loaded.
I'm trying to do math right now, and it's not going well.
I think those are the 600 and 700 guys. If the question is Judge, can he hit 600 home runs? I might take that. I'll take that Pepsi challenge. I think he'll hit 600. 700, I mean, three guys have done it and one cheated, you know. and one was 100 years ago and the other guy never hit more than 50. 700 is a lot of home runs. Alex Rodriguez fell four short. And that guy might be the best specimen to ever play baseball.
Boy, even to get 600, you're looking at 362 home runs. Left.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot of. That's a lot. That's a lot of dongs.
How many did you say?
362.
362 divided by, let's say, 8.5. That's 42, 43 a year for the next 9 years.
Well,
so if you had 60 a couple years, you know, you're going to save a couple 30 years.
Imagine if he just stays that consistent throughout the rest of his career. Damn, that'd be
best
amazing.
360 the Yankees ever spent.
If he stays that consistent, he'll be the best player I ever saw. He'll be better than Trout.
Like, are you kidding? Just because, 40 home runs a year?
Yeah. Trout or Judge hitting 700? No. 600? Yeah. Mike Trout hitting 700? That's a different conversation.
All right, three instead of four stories tonight, so we can get Joe out of here. And we're getting
I'm sorry.
Slacker.
We're getting to the point of the season now where you start questioning, hey, trades, we already had one story in Fair Foul, but also, along with the team's records, you're wondering about managers and if we're going to start to see any managers get axed at this point of this season. We've got some teams at the bottom of the barrel, the Nationals at the bottom of the NL East right now, 24 wins. The Cubs, 24 wins as well. The Rockies down there with 24 wins in the National League and the AL. The Red Sox still above 500, but technically at the bottom of the AL East. I don't think they're getting rid of Cora anytime soon. But you got the Royals and the Athletics at the bottom of the Central and the West. So, fair or foul, guys like Matt Cattaro, he was the Rays bench coach. I did not know that until looking this up. For the Royals, you got, of course, Dave Martinez. For the Nationals, fair or foul, a manager will be fired by the middle of June. So June 15th, you say. Fair or foul, a manager will be fired by the middle of June.
I'll start with this. I'll start by saying foul. And here's why. Davey Martinez is not getting fired.
Yeah.
He won a World Series in Washington, and they know they're bad. David Ross in Chicago is simply brought in to help usher this next era.
I was going to say bridge the gap.
Bridge the gap.
And
also see if he's got manager chops.
I was going to throw him out at first, no. But I figured that the Cubs would probably give him like 8 seasons.
Yeah, I think the Cubs will give him a long time. They love him. They know they're not good, but they're starting to spend money. Marcus Stroman, Dansby Swanson, Patrick Wisdom's hitting home runs and striking out every other time. But, you know, the Cubs are trying to create something. I think what's really fascinating, Oakland's not going to fire their manager. They know they're terrible.
Mark Kotze? No, he knows he's just sitting in that job.
They know they're terrible. I say foul, but the one that really intrigues me, and this is what we will talk about next week, is the San Diego Padres are not very good right now. They can't hit, and Bob Melvin is their manager. And I would sit here and tell you that I think the best manager in baseball is Terry Francona. And I think number two, given the circumstance right now, might be Bruce Bochy. But I don't think Bob Melvin's real far behind either of those guys. But what's going on in San Diego with the amount of money, I still think it's foul. But this Melvin situation in San Diego has me really intrigued. Cora's not going to get fired. He won a World Series. They fired him because he was a cheater and just brought him back. Apparently, the Yankees won't fire Aaron Boone, even though I would have fired him 3 years ago. Buck Showalter's good in New York, even if they start to struggle. Dusty's not going anywhere in Houston. I mean, maybe Service if they keep struggling. Bud Black in Colorado, they know they're not good. And Bud Black is an OG that hangs around.
And that's where I was going to go, is that I'm going to say foul. You said June 15th.
Yeah,
I don't know
2 weeks.
If someone's going to get fired before then. But if there's anybody that's going to get fired first, it would be Bud Black. It's just like, what are we doing? I mean,
Bud Black's an OG, and I think they know that their team's not bad. The one I would say that should get fired the first.
I get it, but they've gotten worse since he's got there. Like, they had a couple good years, and they literally haven't finished better than fourth in the division the last 4 seasons.
But they got worse players now. You know?
Charlie Blackmon is still there, dude.
You know, I would say the one...
is that
the one,
not enough?
The one to look at, and I know this is bad because I don't know his name, even though I heard him on the radio this morning, is the White Sox manager.
That team should be better than they are.
Already?
That team should be better than they are. And maybe the guy in St. Louis,
oh,
too.
The former Mariner, Pedro Grifol. Yeah, that's we figured this
that
out.
That team sucks and should not suck. Okay, they're in fourth. They're in fourth place in the worst division in baseball.
Yeah, they.
Well, it's because they handed a basically a career minor league job.
And if you look above him, you've got Terry Francona, pedigree. You've got AJ Hinch, pedigree. And you've got Minnesota, who's a better team, and Rocco Baldelli, not a bad manager. Not great, but not bad. If I had to put my money in Vegas on somebody, it's Chicago.
Boy, Tony La Russa, vindicated.
They should have just hired AJ Hinch. Are you kidding me? They tried to on social media.
Or they bring Tony back. Tony, it wasn't you. We were wrong. Sorry.
Hell, I'd rather.
He's too old. He can't handle it, man.
I'd rather bring back Ozzie Guillen at this point.
No, honestly, sign me up.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Yeah, crazy old man Guillen. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single week at 8:30. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up as Aaron Judge was just intentionally walked by Scott Servais in the top of the ninth. It's the Hot Corner. 10-8 the Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
.849 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We come back next week. I'd love to check in on some teams that we kind of wrote off as not being good and some teams we kind of sang their praises as being good and check in around that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised how much I've held off on talking about the Orioles over the last couple weeks, but they've dropped two of their last series.
Hey,
so, rightfully so.
You want to have a little fun conversation right now since it's the end and nobody's listening anymore anyway?
Sure.
You got two teams, okay, that are clearly building. I think one team is not even close ahead of the other in terms of their progression and what the ceiling is. Right now, if you can take your fan cap off.
Oh boy, here we go.
Considering where things are you happier as a Mariner fan or an Oriole fan?
I mean, you're much happier as an Oriole fan right now.
Right, but just hear me out on this. I think the answer is obviously the Orioles because of their record and where they stand in the division, but just listen to me, Joe. The Mariners have, in my opinion, way better talent. I think the Mariner roster, whether it's the pitching staff or hitters.
Pitching
staff might be the best pitching staff in baseball.
There's a
You're going to go Castillo, Gilbert, Kirby, and now Miller's emerged, and we haven't even talked about, you know, Robbie Ray's gone, and that's fine. Adios. Marco Gonzalez is just adios. Like, your four starters are absolutely phenomenal.
Mm.
And the Orioles, as much as I love Adley Rutschman, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Rutsch, I'd rather have Julio. And there is nobody on the Orioles that does what Eugenio does. And Kelnick is this project that you thought you lost on, and now you're getting back. The Mariners roster compared to the Orioles roster is, in my opinion, by far superior. But the Orioles are putting it together.
Sounds
who
like
who would you rather be a fan of?
Sounds like the Orioles right now have the more superior roster if they have more wins and they're doing better. Patrick. Damn
okay,
it.
Well, I just watched the
You're
Celtics.
You're going to put this on me with 2-3 minutes left of the show?
I just watched the Celtics, who have clearly the better roster than Miami, get smoked. I don't care that it went game seven.
You know,
But Boston is by far better than Miami.
It's an arguable point, but Cedric Mullins has to be the most underrated player in all of MLB. And I know
hard to say. He's on the DL, man. If you can't play, how
don't
am
even
I impressed?
Start. He literally just got on the other day. All right, know, just, it was like a day or two ago.
I'm just messing with you.
Like, that dude is unreal. Ryan Mountcastle, underrated. Adley Rutschman, properly rated because he's the number one overall pick and
properly
gets attention.
Rated. Number two in Rookie of the Year, and some could argue should have won Rookie of the Year. Had Julio not balled out in the home run derby, Rutschman might have won that.
I'm just, I'm sour. You got me hot. You got me hot right now because, yeah, Cedric Mullins just went down the other day, so I'm kind of scared. Just lost the last two series. One of them against the Rangers, who is top of American League.
But I think it's
I'm puckering a bit.
I think it's a fair question because they're such different teams.
They are.
You know?
One exceeding expectations. One vastly under. Yes.
I kind of look at this. I mean, a big reason that I really enjoy being a Mariner fan right now is because something is building. You know, kind of like the Braves 5 years ago.
What?
When Albies came up and Swanson came up.
What the hell's happening in Baltimore? Are they blowing it up all of a sudden?
Well, what I'm saying about Baltimore, and this is a credit to that organization, is a lot of the guys that are good on that team were not, quote-unquote, expected to be good on that team, outside of Adley.
What are you talking about? You're killing me here,
dude.
Patrick,
you might have the best closer in the game.
Oh, Felix Bautista? Dude's a horse. Absolutely.
Your bullpen's way better than the Mariners.
Oh, bullpen.
That bullpen is maybe the best bullpen in baseball, and they fire-sailed it at the end of last year.
No, you're not. You're not joking. But that's the thing that the Mariners have struggled with, and I've been talking about it all year, and you've seen it in this Yankees series. Their pitching staff, starters are great. Their bullpen has been on a house of cards. And when you can't get guys to come in and hold you for an inning or two or stop the bleeding at six runs, you're done.
You don't need guys to go six innings when you got guys that can take care of the last four for you, Patrick.
The Mariners right now remind me of the Padres 2 years ago. Like, oh we got a chance, but we're not there yet.
Well, that bodes
and,
well.
And now you're underachieving. The Orioles kind of remind me of the Astros of 2015. Now, the difference is we knew Correa. We knew who Correa was coming up through the minors. We knew who Bregman was. We knew who Springer was. And Altuve was already there. But we didn't know, now that you look at him now, we didn't know Jeremy Pena. We didn't know Yordan Alvarez. We didn't know Framber Valdez. All these guys who are now the core studs. I think the answer, I know I asked the question, Joe, and I know you tried to poo-poo it, but I think the answer is I would love to be an Orioles fan right now.
Oh.
You're playing with house money.
I trust me, I am through the moon.
Who's the first baseman for the Orioles right now?
Ryan Mountcastle,
okay. Who's the first baseman for the Yankees? Anthony Rizzo, World Series champion, makes a lot of money. Who's the first baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays? That'd be Vladdy Jr. Makes a lot of money, hits a lot of dingers. You're telling me that your first baseman is in second place?
You're damn right it is. It's
not a bad place to be, man.
You're damn right it is. Right there in second place, it's below those phonies, the Rays. All they do is just win at home. Okay?
Easy. I thought we were friends, Joe. That's my team.
That's right. I took the Yankees to win division. What is wrong with me?
Hey, they're in third place. They're climbing.
I'm
don't call it a comeback.
Gargling Aaron Judge. Took the Yankees to win division. Dear God.
All right. Mariners-Yankees are now in the 10th inning as it's tied 0-0, so enjoy the rest of that game. When we come back next week, let's get to talking about some teams that are changing our opinions, kind of like the Baltimore Orioles and the Seattle Mariners. So we got a lot to get to. I hope you all have a great week. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. That's Jordan Schultz behind the glass. Go do something. I would do.